Here's a tale about a group of hunters in Minnesota. Well, we guess you could call them hunters. It's from storyteller Kevin Kling.
When I was in my 20s, every evening at 5 o'clock I'd race the band of daylight that stretched between the Chow Mein Noodle Factory and the Uptown Bar. This was back in the late 70s, before South Minneapolis was fixed up, and the bowling alley was next to the Noodle Factory, still hired pin setters, teenagers that could smoke cigarettes and disappear when a carnival rolled through town. And next to the bowling alley was the Ace Hardware store with the zen-like "Help Wanted, Inquire Within" sign in the window. And past the hardware store was a small brick building with a neon sign that hummed "Barbie Sauna," where a man could get just about anything except for Barbie or a sauna. The Uptown Bar was a working-class bar. B-girls sat at the bar, women who for a drink and a couple of bucks would tell you how interesting you were. And they were true sirens, and few could resist their art of conversation. And behind the bar were tickets to the meat raffle, a cash register decorated with bad checks, and a jar of pickled eggs, some of which were old enough to vote. The clientele at the Uptown was mostly on the wide end of the economic pyramid. There are troubled men and women that sat over their highballs, staring into their glasses like ice fishermen waiting for a bite. The Uptown Bar was a hub of contemplation, more designed for incubation of ideas than the actual hatching. One afternoon, out in the middle of traffic, looking lost and scared, was this beaver. And somehow this little guy had wandered into town. And we watched the beaver cross the busy street one way and then back the other, and cars were screeching. Every once in a while, he'd rear up to get a better look at the situation, but he was clearly confused. All of his defenses for life in the wild were all but useless in an urban setting. This guy was clearly out of his element. Now, after you've had a few beers, one of two things happens. You either develop a great disdain for God's creatures, or you become exceedingly magnanimous, which is what happened to us. "Gentlemen," we said, "we gotta save this little fella." So, leaving our jackets inside, and without giving the situation much thought at all, we approached the beaver, speaking in falsettos and assuring him how everything would be fine. "Yeah, that's all right, we're here now." Now, when you think of a beaver, you kind of think of an industrious creature, kind of cuddly, intelligent, happy little worker. Well, that couldn't be farther from the truth. This thing had claws like razors, huge yellow teeth that were designed to fell a birch in one bite, and he emitted this hiss that made our knees weak. Worse yet, he obviously held some form of unfounded hatred for us, like he already knew us. This beaver gave a lunge, and then another. I mean, it was horrifying, like a mad ninja. "Watch the tail! Watch the tail!" squealed a man. "It's a deadly weapon. I seen it on Mutual of Omaha." The beaver continued taking advantage of the fact that he hadn't been drinking, and we had, and in no time he had us slipping and scattering for the safety of the bar. Now, from a safe position inside the bar, we watched the beaver finally settle into a defensive stance, and we discussed our next move. "I think he's sleeping," one guy said. "I bet we wore him out." "Oh, he ain't sleeping. He's in a meditative state, more alert than ever. How are we going to help him?" "Sometimes nature doesn't want our help. But look, nature can't sense the danger. Look at the dinosaur, the dodo bird, the Baltimore Colts. Sometimes nature must run its course." I, for one, was done helping the beaver. In my mind, the beaver had made his choice. Some of the other guys were far from through. One guy put on his coat and said, "Hey, I got a buddy with a van, and I'm going to get it." While he was gone, another guy went into the back room of the bar and came out with a cardboard liquor box with a lid on it. He ran outside when a rusty white van pulled up. The side door of the van slid open, and with surprising speed, they kicked the beaver into the box, shut the lid, threw it in the van, shut the side door, hopped in the front, and they were off. We watched the one working taillight disappear over a hill, and the guy next to me turns and says, "How long you think it's going to take a beaver to get out of a cardboard box?"
Storyteller Kevin Kling lives in Minnesota.